Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ. And when are you going to listen to me? When are you going to listen to me? What's the only team that beats the Astros in series ever? What's the only team that the Astros can't beat in the series anymore? The team I told you about.
Are we doing this where you're worried they're going to lose the division to the Mariners?
What do they have now? Eight?
The Mariners are behind.
8.5 game, 9 no. game, 10 game lead?
It's like
is that
a
it?
10 game lead.
Yeah,
over
well,
the Mariners.
I heard Dusty the other day, and Dusty was like, I don't care. You know what? It ain't over until it's over. So let's continue to dominate them. And you know what happened?
Urquidy had a bad inning, and that was that.
Urquidy is having a bad season, if you want to know the truth.
Yep.
He's not really been all that good. You know what? With a 5.04 earned run average,
McCullers makes it back. It'll be interesting how they handle Javier Urquidy. I mean, not to mention Odorizzi.
Well, yeah, Odorizzi probably knocks Urquidy out of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's no, you know, Lance McCullers. I don't even know why I'm mentioning his name right now.
Well, now we're talking about it's end of July, maybe probably August.
Yeah.
So, I mean. Again, with
you feel like they're just pushing it forward back, and then they'll tell you later, oh, he's not pitching this year.
Right.
That's what it feels like, you know.
It's got a lot of that feel to it. It absolutely does.
Because we're at August, we're creeping up on a year.
Well, before the season started, I told you, I had heard, you know, that he wasn't going to pitch this year.
Right.
And it's looking more and more like that could possibly be the case. I mean, we saw him the other night throwing in a bullpen, but until he gets out there, until we see him, you know, actually pitching again.
I'm curious what the wait is for. Like, if you wait a year, does it get better?
I don't know.
Is there a strength? It's not a strengthening issue.
Was it a good surgery that he had?
But he didn't have one this offseason.
No, I know.
Right.
It was the last one.
Well, what's the delay for? What's the delay? Like,
well,
what?
The discomfort usually, in his arm.
I know, but usually when you... Okay, but that's a concern that we've gone this long and there's still discomfort. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. We don't know that there's still discomfort. We just know that he's not ready. I don't know that. We don't know that for sure, right? That's not something that they have said. All we know is he ain't pitching, and he ain't pitched for a long time. And who knows? Who knows when he's going to pitch again? So, you know, just have to deal with, once again, Lance McCullers after $85 million last offseason. You know... It's funny. Carlos Correa didn't get his money probably because he was injured all the time.
Yeah, I didn't mean to turn the segment into a McCullers segment, but, I mean, it's worth mentioning just because, you know, he's your second-best pitcher on the staff.
And
maybe third behind Fromber.
And he's never there.
But it's a major, major plus if he's in the rotation. But we're not really given any answers. We're not really given any information. It's just very... I don't even want to say it's cryptic. It's just like there's nothing. We get nothing about Lance McCullers. No. And then we're just told, yeah, maybe if you wait. Well, okay, but what is, like, is there something that's healing right now that's taking this long to heal? Is there a strengthening? Is there a rehab? What is it that needs more time? I don't think they could give us a good answer. I think the answer is we're waiting to see if it gets better. And we're talking about at the end of July, I mean, we're in the 9.5 month range.
Yeah. It's who.
So I don't, you know, if there's something that needs to happen then, to get him right for next year, might as well do it.
Right. If he's got to have another surgery, whatever.
Unless you're going to get a surgery that takes him out of 2023, and then he'll be out of, you know, whatever it is.
Well, 2020. It would be through midway through the season if he does it now.
2020, 2022, 2020. Yeah, I mean, this is, to me, the Astros have screwed themselves. Justin Verlander is a great example of it, where it wasn't the Astros, it was Justin Verlander, but took himself out a complete second season.
Yeah.
By waiting and delaying. If something's going on with Lance, man, let's find out what it is and get it. If something has to be done, get it done. But I do think, for as much as I love Lance McCullers, the person and the pitcher, I mean, let's just be real about it. The injury stuff has been a major, major concern. And now, you know, with the contract he has, I think you really have to worry about it. He couldn't pitch in the World Series. I think there's a decent chance he doesn't pitch this year. And if he doesn't pitch this year and delaying a full year isn't really helping, then what are we talking about? We're talking about a surgery probably again. And I'm guessing that would knock him out for all of next year.
I would imagine.
So, granted, that's worst-case scenario, that he misses two consecutive seasons like Deshaun Watson-type player, but without all the issues. Because Watson, by the way, will miss two straight seasons. I'm convinced he's going to get suspended for a year next year. But, no, I probably shouldn't even mention Lance's name with Watson, because he didn't do anything like that.
No.
I'm just saying, missing two seasons. And on top of missing a third season previously, like, this is really a concern to me that Lance McCullers will miss this year, and then whatever it is, the delay is not getting him where he needs to be. Unless the delay is going to get him where he needs to be, and it's just a matter of, well, maybe we have him ready for late in the season, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe this is something that could require surgery or just time to heal, whatever the healing process needs to be.
But well, he's
it's
out
disconcerting because
he's out there throwing. So
yeah, no, that I would think that's good.
That is, that should be a good sign. But now the
progress.
Latest that we've heard is July, maybe August. What?
Yeah, I mean, that's another 60 days.
Well,
away.
I guess you got to build up your arm strength and everything else, and your stamina and everything else to start to be a starter.
Yeah.
In the league, so we'll see.
Hey, it was. Good
I know
to see,
this. His
good
hair
to see
game, his hair game is on.
Yeah, no, his hair game's off.
No, he had a tight little bun thing going on under his hat in the back.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, his hair game is
solid. His hair game's
solid.
Always solid.
It's always solid.
By
yeah.
the way, good to see Alex Bregman hit the ball hard yesterday.
Lately, he's been you know what?
If you
he's been going
yesterday,
the other way a little bit. He's been
a little
bit better.
I went through his splits, and you'd be shocked to find out that Alex Bregman, when he gets ahead 1-0 on a count, hits over 300. When he starts off the count 0-1, he's well under 200. He's like 140. And up and down his splits, ahead in the count, good hitter. Behind in the count, atrocious hitter. And it's really been that simple this year, which tells me that mentally he just gets in his own head and starts guessing and thinking too much once he gets behind. But yesterday, he looked confident at the plate. Yordan looked great. I mean, just great, going to it, taking pitches the other way. This is what was referenced. Who called him the best hitter they played with?
Altuve.
Yeah. For a guy like Jose Altuve to say that, you know, four consecutive 200-hit seasons, granted, he's not going to say about himself. But Jose Altuve also isn't the most professional hitter. Like, he'll try to take an outside pitch and yank, pull it as well. Like, that's not a great approach at the plate. He's just a guy who has great plate coverage and can just get to balls that other people can't get to. When you look at Yordan will take a pitch away and hit it away. Like, Yordan isn't going to just try to swing for the fences every time. He's got natural power, but if the ball needs to be driven in the gap, he'll drive it in the gap. Like, man, he and Tucker yesterday were, you know, right off the bat. I mean, early on, Bregman, Tucker, Yordan, Yuli, all with base hits. It looked like you had something going. You had a couple of big mistakes yesterday. Altuve trying to go home where it had, and it, you know, it was a third base.
He was out by
coach,
a mile.
He was out. It wasn't even close, and it cost my daughter ice cream. And then,
What?
Well, we have a game that we played a game yesterday. We were all at the game. I said, okay, whoever scores the third run in the game, if you pick that person, you get ice cream. So I had France, Alec had Michael Brantley. Somebody else had Yordan, and my daughter had Altuve. So when Bregman gets the base knock and Altuve's the second, I'm like, uh-oh, my daughter's going to get the ice cream. It's going to be a third run scored. And when I see the catcher come up, the outfielder scoop before Jose Altuve officially turns, right when he's turning third base, I'm like, oh, this isn't good. And he's motoring in, and I mean, it wasn't even close. You had Aledmys Diaz making a stupid throw. I don't think – I can't remember if they scored on that one, but Diaz makes a good play in the field, but clearly J.P. Crawford's sitting at second. You have no chance of getting the guy at first. He makes a throw to first anyway after a delay. The throw's off target. J.P. Crawford gets the third. I'm like, Diaz, what are you doing? And it sucked going, taking my kids to the game for the first time since
And Pena 19. Doesn't play.
First time since 19 and Pena doesn't play.
And Pena doesn't play. Where'd you guys sit?
So it's interesting. we sat upper deck right behind home plate. They are great seats.
Oh, yeah.
They are great seats.
Like what row?
And it's like row two. It's
like $31
for simple, in simple seats. It was, I think, $31.
Oh, that's a great deal.
For six of the seats. Yeah. They were, that's a secret little thing that I found out about in the World Series game seven is the upper deck seats aren't as bad as you think they're going to be if you haven't been up there. But especially if you can get near home plate and you get down on lower rows, it's really terrific. Mm-hmm. Like it's actually really, really good seats. You got great coverage of the whole field. The one heckler was it's a little warmer up there. Because they don't turn the AC. I found this out when I worked at 790. We'd come do day afternoon games, me and Charlie, at 2. You know, we'd go do a 3 o'clock show there. They don't turn the AC on for a while, and it gets warm. Plus, you know, you're up and heat rises, right? So it's a little warmer up there. I will warn you of that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, something I would say it's probably in the neighborhood of about, it's a good 80 degrees up there.
That's fine.
80, 81. You like it.
You're a cold weather idiot.
You're going to love. Did you see what is happening this weekend? Yeah. You're going to love it. 102 with heat index of 111.
Nice. I'll be out there golfing.
Get your skin cancer off.
Don't worry. I'm going to get some. I'll get some Coors Lights. I'll be out in the backyard.
Golfing. You're not golfing in 102.
Oh, yeah, 102.
It's 102 Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Magic 102.
That's what I am.
Magic 100.
Coors Light 102.
I think it's 100 today. 102
Perfect.
Friday, 102
Perfect.
Sunday.
I'll be out. Did you see?
Then we get up to 112.
I'm going to be out at Carlton Woods. Did you see Carlton Woods got the a major, a women's major next year?
No, I didn't see that.
For years to come, there's Carlton Woods. The Nicholas course has the Chevron in the Chevron. It's a tournament.
South Korea is going to own it.
No, South Korea is not. America is going to own it. It's American. Okay,
you sure?
Since when is Carlton Woods in North Korea? Thank you. No,
not North. South Koreans are the ones who win all the tournaments.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Guess what?
Not North Korea.
Here in America, we're going to
win. Wait. Kim Jong-il is, that's North Korea.
North Korea.
Yeah. No, not the North Koreans.
Yeah.
He's the one who's won all the golf tournaments and all the hole-in-ones. Remember? He's got like six hole-in-ones.
He does have, in one round,
he's hit for the cycle three times this year alone.
He invented tacos too, right?
Yeah, he invented
or
tacos.
Or burritos or something.
What he probably has a Tiger Slam to his name.
Probably.
That guy's done everything.
Oh, he's the best.
Oh, did you hear honorable ruler Kim Jong-il won the slam dunk contest?
Is he Kim Jong-un?
Is he un or ill? I can't.
Which one is it? No one knows.
Yeah, the son. Whoever the latest liar is.
Hey, we got, speaking of golf, we got the LIV tournament. Teeing it up. We got the Canadian Open this weekend. We got it. This is awesome.
So the LIV officially starts?
Has it been going on?
It's
three rounds. I think it starts tomorrow. I haven't seen any updates.
So are you going to betray your country and watch it?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay, well done.
Did you see Bryson?
Well, you go, Bryson.
Bryson DeChambeau said, give me that money. Give me my bag.
I know. Bryson.
Bryson's
the type of turd I would expect.
If somebody offered you $200 million, you'd go, yes, sir, I'll take it. Let me tell you,
then don't you never,
if
ever.
If Kim Jong-un said, I'm going to give you $200 million.
You can never, ever sit in judgment of anybody. You can never.
No.
Phil, anybody that sits there, keep your mouth closed. Don't tweet anything. Don't say anything. That's why, to me,
LeBron's stuff is irrelevant. Get that bag, brother.
LeBron's stuff is irrelevant. He's not allowed to comment on anything because...
Oh, he does?
He does his own. That's why I don't pay any attention to him. What he says is irrelevant.
Right.
If you're not consistent, then to me, your comment is not relevant. If you don't care about what's happening to people in Hong Kong, if you don't care about what's going to happen with Taiwan, if you don't care about any of that stuff, but you only care about your stuff, but everyone else's stuff.
Give me that
because
bag.
It's money. That's what I'm saying. Just say, I'm a whore.
Yeah.
I'm a whore.
Phil should have said, look at this money.
I'm a big fat whore. That's who I am.
Right.
And just come use me any way that you want, as long as you pay me. Okay.
Right.
That's who I am.
That's what I told you. Phil. It was prostitution.
Atrocity.
Why do it for free when I can get paid for it?
That's all it is.
That's right.
So, and here's what's going to happen. The PGA is in serious trouble.
I don't know that it's in serious trouble, but you should see the field this week.
It's not good. That's why it's in serious trouble. These tournaments, other than majors, let me tell you something. If you can go play over there for all that money and all these golfers are making it okay to go do that, they're going to all go take that. That's a serious problem for the John Deere and the this and the that tournament.
Well, here's the deal is at some point there's going to be – we had Todd Lewis on. He said, this is going to court. That's what's going to happen. You're not. Wait a minute. I can't go and play where I want to go play PGA Tour. Really? You're gonna kick me off your tour because I'm playing over here to make money?
They're gonna lose in court.
They're gonna lose their ass.
And then what's gonna happen to the PGA Tour?
I'm gonna be able to go back and forth as opposed to you can't play here anymore.
They're not gonna go back and because
yes they are.
They're not gonna go. Let me tell you what will happen. We're not paying you $200 million for you to go back and forth. We'll let you go play the majors. That's great for us.
Oh, no.
Go play the majors.
They've got a contract. They're going to be able to do whatever they want in the off weeks. They're not going to tell them they can't go back to the PGA Tour.
Why would they come back here and play the John Deere? They don't need money.
If the PGA Tour will make these guys even bigger stars.
You're playing for two things. Kat, you're playing for money, and you're playing for the prestige of winning majors. Why would you care about – you've already got your bag. Why are you going to go play in a tournament? Yeah, there's no reason.
Well, not everybody's got Dustin Johnson's bag. I mean,
But the top guys are also the ones that draw eyes, draw the sponsors, draw the revenue,
draw the ratings. No, but the Rickies and the Nas and the and a lot of guys out that are out there. The James Piatt, who was the amateur champion here, U.S. amateur champ, he can come back and play. He's over there now, but he can come back.
My concern would be the ratings are – if you have a core – if you have a – if your field looks like it does this week, ratings, guess what advertising revenue does? Yep.
That's right.
It's going to have a domino effect.
716 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And speaking of domino effects and golf, we're gonna auction off to play with me and Doc Linville. If you're bald, this is where you want to be here.
He's not doing it on the course.
Well, no, he's not going to do it on the course, but you're going to get to know him, and then he's going to go, hey, I can help you out here. A little something, something,
is he bringing
Doc?
His
a
staff?
Little something, something, Doc?
Is he bringing his staff?
We'll see. Yeah, his staff usually shows up, too. That's a plus. Here's the deal, though. Is that a jab at the staff?
No, not at all, actually. not at all. Maybe SiteJab can build out, redo his website to feature the staff more prominently. Maybe that can happen. SiteJab can't do that. You know, your About Us page on your website, you know, that needs to be good. Here's the mistake a lot of people make when they try to build their own website or have a brother-in-law build it, or somebody who works the company who that's not their deal. They build too many pages into it. They try to go too far with it. They don't understand the flow of a site. When the consumer and listen, this is 24 years that Hector and his staff over at SiteJab have been doing this. They understand the flow of the consumer. Their eyes, what they need to get to. They want to get information. When they go to your small or medium-sized business, they want to get to the information as quickly as possible. They want to see what it is you do, what your portfolio is. So you want to be able to make it as efficient as possible in terms of the traffic of the website. And the second thing is you want to make sure that you have you capture their eyes and really show them exactly who you are. Maybe it's professionally shot video that's embedded. Maybe it is a great demonstration of the products that you have and what you do. Maybe it can be testimonials that are on the page, either in written form or video form. Maybe it's just having e-commerce where people can communicate with you and purchase your product right there as a point of sale on your website. I just know that SiteJab makes it all happen for people, and they do it by building beautiful web designs, but they also handle social media management, logo and design, brand management, so much more. Go to SiteJab.com, find out about all their suite of products. SiteJab.com, that's SiteJab.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, the Celts took care of that business last night. 116-100. The Warriors need some help. Where is Jordan Poole? Jordan Poole was unbelievable heading into these NBA finals. He was playing great, and he's just not. I mean, 10 points last night. I think he's averaging 12 in the finals. Yeah, he's got a – Jordan Poole was the third man on this deal. I mean, Andrew Wiggins is playing okay, And Andrew Wiggins is, you know, they're all having a hard time. Nobody can cover Tatum. And Jaylen Brown, I think Jay Will said it this morning. He said, that dude plays angry. He's like a lot like Kobe. Jason Tatum is having fun out there and enjoying himself. Jaylen Brown plays with some anger.
Yeah, this is, I think this is one of the things that when we had Five Star on, you know, the thing that stood out to me was, my thing was, I compared it to, kind of hit me during the segment, is when you had the Denver Broncos played Seattle in 14 Super Bowl, and Seattle was on the way up with these young Legion of Boom guys and Russell Wilson, and in Denver, who was a stalwart there, and they were led by Peyton Manning, they just were overcome with athleticism. Like, they were overwhelmed in the Super Bowl. I'm not saying Golden State's getting overwhelmed, but, you know, they really did get overwhelmed in game one. And other than a big second quarter or big third quarter, Golden State got overwhelmed in game three.
Well,
they were overwhelmed second, and the fourth quarter.
The fourth quarter, again, they fell apart. They fell apart so bad in game one, and they fell apart again with 11 points.
The young team has young legs. Well, the young stars. Al Horford, obviously, is not young. But Robert Williams is. Jason Tatum's still very young. Brown is still very young, and they're all three of those guys. Just for example, those three. You have an irritant with Grant Williams, which you love, but they all can leap, they can all defend, and they are all extremely quick, explosive, and athletic. And I think when you look at Klay Thompson, is not the same athlete he was before.
He's not the same guy.
So now when you start looking at it, okay, we know you got a great shooter with Klay. When he's open, he's going to make shots. Steph Curry's a great shot maker still. Steph Curry is still kind of a one-way player. And then, you know, Klay Thompson, not the same athlete. Draymond, look how bad Draymond sucked yesterday. What did Draymond do yesterday? Draymond was taken out of the game by just the elements of the game. It wasn't a good game for him. They don't have enough. Jordan Poole, you're right. Jordan Poole really needs to be a 25-point scorer right now.
You got to have three stars, and Jordan Poole was that guy right up until – it's reminded me a little bit of James Harden back with Oklahoma City. When he got to the NBA Finals, he kind of slipped away and was not the
Poole
same guy.
Poole had a good game too,
and yeah, but he's averaging 12 in the finals.
Is it just 12 right now?
I think it's a 12. So anyway, Draymond had some interesting stuff. Now this was during the off day, right? This was during the off day. We didn't get to this yesterday. But Draymond had some interesting stuff to say about players before the turn of the century. Listen.
One thing that baffles me about the 80s or the 90s or whatever you want to call when basketball was so much more physical is some of the guys that be talking weren't the guys that was punching people. You know, like they act like, you know, guys was just walking around the court like, I'm hitting this guy in the nose. There were a few guys back then that would lay you out, that would knock you out, that would foul you and get thrown out the game. Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn. But everybody running around acting like they were that. Y'all were getting bullied. And so it baffles me when every guy, just because they played in the 80s, just because they played in the 90s, is like, man, if you played in our day, you get knocked out. Like, no, not really, because it wouldn't be you. So, okay, you saying Rick Mahorn would have knocked me out. Rick Mahorn probably knocks you out. Like, Bill Laimbeer probably lays you out. So were there enforcers of that time? Of course. Would they have knocked you out? Of course. Their fine was also $2. Like, you know, it's just not the same day and age. If I go knock somebody out, I probably could find $1 million. Like, it just don't work the same. And so
I don't think he has a good feel for it. Like, what are you arguing about?
There were only a couple of guys that knocked people out back
here's
then?
Here's the argument. I think he's taking it in the wrong direction here. But basically, they're just saying it's a much more physical game. The guys running around through the paint and all that stuff would have gotten laid out. They couldn't have done the same. That's what they're saying. It's not about people. This is not where you went through the lane and people got to punch you and then you got knocked unconscious. What are you talking about, Draymond? God, sometimes he is so stupid. I mean, sometimes Draymond is so stupid. The discussion is about the physicality of the game. Draymond could have fit in perfectly. He would have been a lesser version of Anthony. He would have been Anthony Mason, who was a better passer. That's what he was. Draymond can't jump. Draymond's a low-level athlete. He's a lower-level player from an athletic standpoint. But he's gritty. He's grimy. He's tough. He's nasty.
He's an irritant.
He could have fit easily with 80s and 90s basketball. There's no question.
Oh, yeah.
But what people are telling you, Draymond, which you can't seem to grasp because this is about knocking people out, it's about the physicality in the paint. You were not given the liberty to go get whatever you wanted. You had to deal with hand checks, forearm shivers, guys like Kirk Grant. It wasn't just Rick Mahorn. It wasn't just the Bruce Brothers. You know, it wasn't Rick Mahorn and Bill Laimbeer. It wasn't just like you had some goons, some guys who became goons if they needed to. It was Charles Oakley. It was Larry Johnson had some of that in him. Definitely Anthony Mason had it in him. I mentioned Oak. There were a lot of guys. I mean, Bill Cartwright, he was a finesse center, but if you came through the lane at certain times, Bill Cartwright knew this was the deal. Centers had to put you on your ass if you were taking too many liberties in the paint.
Oh, no.
That's what they're talking about.
He's silly. And Sed Maxwell. Sed Maxwell responded.
Cornbread
responded to Draymond.
I see Draymond behind me.
Okay.
But don't act like it wouldn't have been in the 80s. He would have been knocked out.
Hey, come on, Sid. Stop that, Sid.
Hey, I watch y'all team and played against y'all team, and I'm going to tell you, like on the real, they had about five, six guys on y'all team that would knock you out, and you was one of them, right?
Well, I think also, Cedric, would you say at this era, I mean, we're talking comparison eras, two things that I would add. One, it's kind of like hockey. There's about three guys on a team that that's their job. There's no job for that in the NBA now. Mm-hmm. So there were jobs like you come in, you got to be physical.
Yeah.
That's your only job is to be physical.
Well, let me tell you the part that insulted me, and this was, and I talked to Draymond and anybody else. They talked about Draymond said, well, if you got thrown out of a game during that time, you only could pay $2. Well, you know what? That's an insult to anybody who played with me at that particular time. Because we stood on the shoulder of giants.
Yeah.
And the reason he's making $30 million, he got on my shoulders and somebody else's shoulders.
Yeah.
And you don't be disrespectful. I'm going to quote a famous Chinese philosopher here, Kevin Garnett.
Oh, wow.
What Kevin Garnett said.
I didn't even know he was Chinese.
Well, you know it now. What Kevin Garnett said was, respect these years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll say this. When you look at things you talk about, I'll say this. There's only been 32 finals MVPs. And damn it, I'm one of them.
Okay.
I don't feel like he went after you personally, Cornbread, but still, I get you.
Yeah.
I think Cornbread also misunderstood. I don't think he was making fun or making light of your contracts and how much money you made. I think his point was...
Well, he was a little bit.
Well, I think the point was about deterrent. It's not... The fines were so low, there was no deterrent.
Yeah.
There was no deterrent. Listen...
Well, guys made a hell of a lot less than...
I was a kid watching, and I read all about the ABA. The things that were allowed to go on in games, and you stay in games, like there would be fights, and then they, okay, let's break it up. Let's get back to the game.
Yeah.
Like guys were swinging on each other, and you stayed in. That was just, I remember when Xavier McDaniel, I'll never forget Larry Drew got choked so bad on the sideline by Xavier McDaniel that his eyes started to pop out of his head. By the way, Xavier McDaniel, one of those dudes you did not want to mess with. Like, Draymond would have had to guard Xavier, and it would not have been fun to deal with Xavier McDaniel. No one even talks about X-Man. I don't know. He just kind of has disappeared
from discussions.
But literally, you could have punched somebody in the face and just still stayed in a game back in the day. Having fights was just in the ABA, reading loose balls. That book was bananas what used to happen in the ABA.
Well, and the how flamboyant. And how, it was awesome. All right, 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on this or anything else? You're more than welcome. Tony Busby's added the Texans to his lawsuits. We'll talk about it on the other side. HRP is what we're talking about now. I mean, I don't know. See, if the Texans had HRP, they could have had HR handle all this Deshaun Watson stuff. You don't want that kind of stuff in your business. You don't buy your employees. You just don't want it. No, nobody wants that. Nobody wants the kind of activity that was going on over there in their business. So you need somebody that can handle that. You need somebody that's going to handle it correctly. You need somebody that's going to handle it so that you don't get sued. If you have an HR problem, you need a professional to come in and tell you exactly what's going on with that and how to handle it. So if you're looking for a great way to get this done, it's HR and Pete. I don't know if you're not completely satisfied with your HR and payroll company. If you are still doing it yourself, don't do that. If you are somebody, if you have 15, 20, 25 employees, you're just getting it started, yes, you can afford this. And oh, by the way, it's going to be more economical for you. So if you're looking for a great way to do the payroll, you're looking for a great way to get this HR done, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tony Busby added the Texans to his list of added them to the lawsuits, and I think it's kind of, we'll find out, but we'll find out what the Texans knew. Deshaun Watson was adamant that the Texans knew nothing about anything. And he could have thrown him under the bus too. He absolutely could have.
Yeah,
but when asked repeatedly, he said, no, the Texans didn't know anything.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that if you do that, then the Texans could, if they really did know something, the Texans could have said everything they knew and buried Deshaun, which...
Well, they're going to have to say everything they don't know.
Right. Deshaun wouldn't want that. The Texans wouldn't want that because they're trying to. I really think if I had to guess, if somebody said, here, if you guess this right, Lance, you get $10,000. This is what I would guess. The director of security found out what was going on, tried to help. And my guess is what he thought was going on was Deshaun hooked up with some girl. This is what he thought. Deshaun hooked up with some girl because this is what Deshaun probably told him. Man, I hooked up with some girl. We did this and that, and now she's like out. She is crazy, and she's trying to, blackmail me. She's got some stuff on me where we were in bed, and she got recorded something or whatever, and she said she wants to expose me and blackmail me. I did some stuff that I'd probably be embarrassed about if it got out, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's what you need. Have you ever gotten an NDA? I'm going through my mind my guess is what happened. You ever had an NDA? It's a non-disclosure agreement. She couldn't do that if you got her to sign that. You may have to pay her some money if she's out for that. Okay, then that guy, once again, this is my interpretation. If I had to guess, if somebody was going to give me $10,000 for making a proper guess, my guess is he would go to Bill O'Brien because Bill O'Brien was the king at that time, the king of the castle, everything, Bill O'Brien. So you're going to go to him, hey, OB, just want to tell you, so we got something with Deshaun. He'll be like, is it like with DeAndre Hopkins? And they're like, no, this is a different deal. Got this girl, blah, blah, blah. Here's what happened. All right, well, keep me informed. If you find out anything else, let me know. I mean, just make sure. I want to make sure that gets handled. Just let me know if you hear anything else. I think it could have been that simple where, and by the way, that happens all the time in the NFL where you have a player has an issue with somebody. The league has their own security, or the team will have their own security person or own PI guy, their own, well, security or PI, sometimes it's the same. It might not be all that salacious like the headlines. I get it. Everyone wants it to be super salacious. I get that. I know it's a more fun story for everybody. But the fact is, my guess is the Texans had no – A, they weren't setting up massages for Deshaun, which is, I think, is the really egregious headline that people are trying to connect.
Well, yeah, they enabled. Yeah, that they enabled.
Yeah, do you think that was the case?
No, I don't.
I don't think so either.
I don't know. Maybe there was – maybe they did know more than they were letting on. Maybe it was just because it was Deshaun. They were like, you know what? We got to – I think Mike Florio yesterday, if you didn't hear Mike Florio, go back yesterday and listen – to the podcast and listen to Mike Florio. He was like, listen, these are NFL quarterbacks. Teams tend to whatever they want, they get, you know what they get. Leave him alone. He's doing his thing over there. Here's the thing. The Texans couldn't possibly to me, have known, because if they knew that he had all of these different masseuses in during COVID, they would have been like, dude.
The Texans would have been fined $2 million.
Yes.
They would have been fined $2 million. The league was so strict on COVID stuff, the Texans would have faced unbelievable penalties.
Yes. They were getting... If you had a practice where guys were all in the same room, you were getting fined by the NFL. It was such a... If the Texans knew and just let him... Now, he's the quarterback. He's the star. He's got the big contract. You know what? You hands off. Leave him alone.
Not with that. They weren't playing games with that.
No.
I mean, you need to take yourself back to 20 and remember how things were going. It was a... Like,
not 20, for Deshaun.
20 and 21... Yeah, I mean, that was the... No, I know, but, like, the league, they were really serious on these things. I mean, you're talking about having a... You're talking about having games canceled and a league canceled. They would have lost billions in revenue. The players would have lost millions individually. Those chances were not taken on the team end. They just weren't.
No. Man, if Deshaun had any COVID on his... Lower regions, you know how much he would have spread it all over the city?
On his lower regions.
Well, I'm just saying. 740 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, listen, we're going to do this today and tomorrow. We're trying to get some money for kids' meals. So we're going to auction off. Me and Doc Linville are going to be playing together, and we got a couple of spots with us to play with us next Tuesday at Wildcat Golf Club. Want you to call in, and you can bid on it. And the young man who's answering the phone will tell you where the bid is at, right? Are you answering today, or we got an intern? Good. So he'll tell you where the bid is at. 713-780-3776. Listen, I've made good friends with people, and it's a lot of fun. Play golf. With Houston Glover is a guy who he bought this thing, and now we play a bunch. Matter of fact, went on vacation together. So this is fun. It's great to get to meet people. I want to get to know you, and it's easy. And Kids Meals is awesome. Kids Meals, they're trying to end, and they think that Houston can be the first city to end childhood hunger, but they need money. So this is why we're doing it. This is why we're out there. This is a lot of fun. This is what we're going to be doing over the next couple of days. We will auction off. If you want to play with me and Doc Linville next Tuesday, 713-780-3776. Let's go. And if you haven't signed up yet for the tournament, well, that'll be, you know what, we'll sign you up. If you haven't signed up yet, we'll sign you up for the tournament. If you got just you and another guy, that'll be our foursome. In the meantime, when we come back, Tim Kirkchin is going to join us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So that's good stuff. In the meantime, though, Craig Day Cerf is what we're going to talk about.
I want to make sure that you recognize and understand some of the, there's a couple of really sweet deals that came across my email yesterday, and very excited to tell you about these. I'll give you an example of one of them. So leases, I lease a Chevy Traverse. There's a great lease available for you right now. This may be great for your son or daughter who's going off to school. Maybe you've got someone driving a vehicle for the first time. Maybe you just want to downsize your payments that you have on your car. Maybe your car is coming up. You want to sell it because you know you can get great price from Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC. They offer some of the highest trade-in values you're going to find. Right now, the Buick Encore GX, which is a five-person SUV that's engineered to adapt as you do, going to the grocery store, headed out to Galveston, headed on a road trip. It's great for all of that. Right now, you can lease a 2022 Buick Encore GX for just $199 a month for 24 months. That's 2 years at $199 per month. See dealer for complete details. It's Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. It's a great chance to get into a five-person, smaller SUV for just $199 a month for 2 full years. Don't miss out on this great opportunity. Shop online at LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Here's a guy with some great hair. Tim Kirkchin is joining us right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Never, ever thought that Tim Kirkchin had a hair issue, and he doesn't. And he's with us here. Tim, welcome to the show. How are you?
I don't have good hair. I'm really white now. My forehead looks like a five head, and the top of my head looks like the on deck circle. That's how much hair I've lost. So no, I don't have good hair. Sorry.
Oh, I thought you had. I've always thought you had gray hair. That's my bad. I apologize, Tim Kirchin. Tim Kirchin just was. Well, you can go to 975hair.com and get that fixed, Tim.
All right.
Let's talk a little bit of. Let's talk Yordan Alvarez. How about that deal, $115 million? The Astros are going to make long-term on that deal. And then my follow-up question is, do you have to pay where is Kyle Tucker going to fit in there? Will he get more than Yordan got?
I don't think so. Now, certainly Kyle Tucker is a better defensive player and runs better, but Yordan Alvarez has been a great hitter since the day he showed up in the big leagues. And he's got an OPS over 1,000 now. He's got 17 home runs. He is a really dangerous man every time he steps in. So Kyle Tucker gets better every single time I see him play, which is a great thing for him and the Astros. And he's going to get paid, but he's just not the same hitter that Yordan Alvarez is because not many people are.
No.
I'm curious where you're a guy who keeps up with everyone nationally. Where do you see in the pecking order of Major League Baseball hitters, where does Yordan Alvarez fall for you right now amongst other hitters in the league?
Well, he's certainly one of the best. I mean, he's not Juan Soto, but Juan Soto is as good a young hitter as we've seen come into the game the last few years as almost anyone that I can remember. That's how good he is. We have Ronald Acuna Jr. We have Fernando Tatis Jr. But Alvarez is just a hitter. And when you're talking about young guys, I mean, go back and look at his rookie season and look at those numbers. And if it weren't for injuries, he would have had every year looking like that. So I think when you're talking about best young hitters in the game, he's at least in the top five.
Tim Kirchin with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If Aaron Judge cools off and Yordan continues to go, if Verlander continues to pitch the way he does, if Pena continues to play the way that he does, the Astros might sweep these awards, Tim Kirchin.
Yeah, entirely possible. Verlander is on another Cy Young season track, which is stunning given where he's come from, given his age. He speaks again to his remarkable ability and his just incredible competitive nature. Payne has been tremendous. I knew he would be a good defensive player. That's what I've been hearing for years. But he's been a way better offensive player than I thought he would be. And, yes, the MVP, it's way too early to be picking any of these things. But the Astros, where they are, and they're going to win that division, I have a few extra credit points to, are you playing for a team that wins? Are you playing for a division winner? And if all three of those guys keep this up, sure, there's a chance the Astros can sweep the big postseason awards.
Tim Kirchin with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did Joe Maddon deserve to get fired?
No, I don't think so. But, and there's a big but here, the game has changed so much, fellas, that in order to keep players' attention these days, it's really hard to do that after 3, 4, 5, 10 years. Eventually, you have to hear another voice. And Joe Maddon just didn't fit in with the rest of that organization as far as being an old school guy. I mean, he embraced analytics to some degree, but he's still a touch and feel guy, an instinct guy, a gut feeling guy, and I'm just not sure that was working with him and the Angels. So do I think it was a bad move? No. Do I think he deserved it? No. This is just the way of Major League Baseball. I don't think Joe Girardi deserved to be fired either, but they haven't lost a game since he was fired. Sometimes just a different voice is what you need in order to restart a team that has just underachieved.
Is there any reason to believe that I don't know, Astros fans are starting to tire a little bit of Dusty Baker. Some of it may just be, you know, there's just some stagnant behavior in terms of how he deals with lineup issues. How do you see that playing out, the managerial position for the Astros and how long-term Dusty is over there for the Astros in that capacity?
Well, Dusty has done a fantastic job with that team from the day he took over under very difficult circumstances. He's as wise a baseball man as I think I've ever met. With all he's been through in his life, he knows how to deal with all sorts of things. People have questioned his strategy over the years, leaving pitchers in too long, staying with veterans, all that. The guy's won 2,000 games. He has won a division title with five different teams. No one's ever done that. He has rescued organizations that were in big trouble and cured them almost immediately. So the Astros are 9.5 games ahead in their division. They're 15 games over 500. There should be no questioning of the manager at this point.
Tim Kirkchin here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tim, what's with the base? Are you a baseball conspiracy guy? What's with the hitting this year?
Well, this is something that's been going on for years, but it's even more acute this year. Look, the bottom line is the pitching has never been more overpowering. It's never been better than it is right now. And our hitters are simply overmatched on a nightly basis. Every single game I cover or watch on TV, I see this ridiculous velocity, this absurd secondary stuff that we see every night. And I wonder, how does anyone ever get a hit in the big leagues anymore? That's how good it is. Gabe Kapler, I'm doing the Giants game again this weekend. He said this is the most challenging atmosphere for a hitter in the history of baseball, and he might be right. Is the ball traveling quite as far? I don't think so. Is that a conspiracy? I don't think so. I just think we're in a time where the pitching is so good that it is now time for our hitters to make an adjustment. They're going to have to acknowledge that guy 60 feet, 6 inches away is better than I am right now. So I have to change something. I have to change my swing, my approach. The problem is they've had the same swing, most of them, and same approach for 5, 10, 15 years. I think it's too late for, I'm just choosing Joey Gallo to change the way he hits. But until our hitters start to make an adjustment, we're going to see league batting averages in the 230s. The Astros are hitting 235 as a team. They're a really good hitting team. 235. That's the way the game works today, and I don't see it changing anytime soon.
You know, it's funny because as a couple of, you know, all of us are baseball fans, and we've seen, you know, the baseball in the 80s and the 90s, 2000s, moving forward. We've seen the different iterations of it, steroid era. But it really is amazing. I pulled up the stats for Alex Bregman and, you know, just looking at batting average alone and Tim Bogart or Adam Everett, light hitting shortstop. I'm not necessarily comparing the two of them. But when you went through the advanced analytics and took a look at everything, and then what struck me is league average was 270-something when Everett played in 2005, and the league average is in the 230s right now. It really put it into perspective about what you're talking about there, about it being a much different league from a hitting standpoint.
Yeah. By the way, Adam Everett was a great defensive shortstop and did enough at the plate to warrant playing every day for that team. I love watching that guy play. But again, you're right. It is so much harder now to get a hit. And we've lost the value of the hit, in my mind, in the major leagues. We no longer pay for somebody who gets 200 hits in a season. We no longer really value a guy who can hit a hard ground ball through the right side and advance a runner from first to third. We're only interested, as an industry, in getting the ball up in the air and doing serious damage, which I understand the damage it can do. But if you're going to play that kind of game against this kind of pitching, then you have to expect the league batting average to be in the 230s and the league on-base percentage to be just over 300. Those are not good enough numbers, but this is what the industry has encouraged the players to do. It's not even their fault anymore. The industry says we want you to swing as hard as you can in case you hit a home run, and maybe that's not the best way to go.
Tim Kirkchin, ESPN, with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tim, I got two teams that are 30-27, the Boston Red Sox and the Atlanta Braves. Who are you buying? Which future are you buying?
Well, I'm going to buy the Braves first because they won the World Series last year, and they were not over 500 last year until August the 6th. And then made an absolutely stunning turnaround and won and deserved to win. And I like their pitching. Kyle Wright has been really, really good. Once they get a little healthier, they're going to be really good. I'm not sure they're going to catch the Mets, even though the Mets have had a little trouble here lately. So I'm saying the Braves are going to make the playoffs. I'm not sure if they're going to win the division. But I'm also in again on the Red Sox. I must say, I kind of gave up a few weeks ago, but that is a devastating offensive team, and they've pitched a whole lot better lately. So I wouldn't be shocked if somehow, some way, they found a way to win a wild card in the American League, because wild cards don't look to be coming from the West. I'm not sure they're coming from the Central, so we might have three wild cards from the American League East. That should be interesting.
Yeah. And look at, we've got, look at the Nationals started slowly. They went on to win it. The Braves start slowly. They went on to win it. Yeah, you can't, right now, if there is a team, Tim, that started slowly, that you really, that it could be the Braves or the Red Sox, right?
Yeah, those are two teams that I did have some worries about early, and now I'm not nearly as worried. Just another reminder, fellas, how beautiful a Major League Baseball season can be. Don't forget the Padres last year had the best record in baseball after 50 games. And not only did they not make the playoffs, they didn't even finish over 500. That's what baseball can do. Look at the Angels. The Angels were 27-17. They were going to the playoffs. We already decided that. And now they've lost 14 games in a row. No team has ever lost 14 games in a row after a streak, you know, starting that streak when they were 10 games over 500. The Angels have made history already. It's just another reminder, don't make up your mind too early, good or bad.
Nope. And Tim Kirkchin with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And that begs the question, because there was a lot of talk about shortening the baseball season. You against it?
Oh, yeah. 162 games takes care of everything. As long as we play 162, baseball promises it will be great. It's what Sparky Anderson always used to tell me. You play 162 for a reason. There are no excuses after 162 because the season is so long. You can't say we ran out of time. No, not after 162 games. So even though we've had to compact the schedule, we started late, we're going to finish a little bit late, I never worry about any baseball season as long as we play all the games, because then nobody has any excuses whether they play for however they play.
And you're okay with the extra playoff teams?
I thought it was better with five, but I'm 65 years old. I have a slightly different look at things. Five was great last year. Remember that final day of the season last year when everyone played at 3:00 Eastern and there were about 10 teams that were either in or out after that day. I mean, that's how wild that final Sunday was. So I was totally against eight playoff teams. I was totally against seven. I can live with six. Look, I can live with anything as long as we keep playing. But I would rather have had it at five, but I'll take six. It's okay.
Tim Kirkchin, ESPN, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it, Tim.
All right, fellas. Talk to you soon. See ya.
All right. There's Tim Kirkchin with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The ceiling is the roof, Lance.
Well, the ceiling is the roof, and I'm assuming you mean talk about AO1 roofing, because that's the roof, unless we have a ceiling company, and I'm guessing we don't, so let me go with the roof company, AO1 roofing. AO1 roofing has been in business here and already picked up accolades through the Better Business Bureau. Great rankings there, or ratings there, great relationships with the chambers of commerce around a variety of different areas and outlying areas of the Houston area, including here in Houston. But I think the thing that really separates them is clean work site, good price. They get the work done efficiently. They're great working with your insurance companies, and they can help you find areas of concern that are going to lead to problems during hurricane season. If there is something there, if there's nothing there, they let you know that too, and that's great peace of mind. If there is something there, they can show you where the issue is. They can work with your insurance company to show them, because in many cases right now, insurance companies are either knocking people off of insurance or refusing to insure homes because of older roofs right now. And that's something that insurance companies are doing, and that's why a lot of people are reaching out to different roofing companies. I want to make sure you're aware of AO1 Roofing, because AO1 Roofing is the company I speak for and the company I trust with my roof. And the reason's simple. They do great work, but they also go the extra mile. Here's an example. A 4,500-watt generator. They're giving it to you for free when you get a re-roof done with AO1 Roofing. 713-715-ROOF. That's 713-715-ROOF. AO1 Roofing, a 4,500-watt generator, absolutely free while supplies last when you get a re-roof done with them. That's AO1Roofing.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.